welcome to the Reading the Bible Daily with Dave podcast. This podcast is devoted to helping increase your daily exposure to God's Word with a short scripture reading and brief commentary on key ideas, themes, and theology in each chapter. Now please join your host, Dave Jenkins, for today's episode.
Well, welcome back to the Reading the Bible Daily with Dave podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today is May 6th, and today we're going to look at Exodus chapter 21. Just as a reminder, every day I read from one chapter of God's Word, and then I offer a brief explanation of key ideas, the themes, and the theology in that chapter. My goal is to get you into God's Word for about 5 to 20 minutes every day. So let's look now at Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21 says this: "Now these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ears through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. And when a man sells his daughter as a slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master, who has designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has broken faith with her. If he designates her for a son, he shall deal with her as with a daughter. If he takes another wife to himself, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, or her marital rights. And if he does not do these three things for her, she shall go out for nothing without payment of money. Whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. But if he does not lie and wait for him, but let God him fall into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place to which he may flee. But if a man willfully attacks another to kill him by cunning, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him, shall be put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. When men quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and the man does not die but takes to his bed, then if the man rises again and walks outdoors with a staff, he who struck him shall be clear. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall have him thoroughly healed. And now when a man strikes a slave, male or female, with a rod, and the slave dies under his hand, he shall be avenged. But if the slave survives a day or two, he is not to be avenged, for the slave is his money. And when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hits her shall surely be fined, as a woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then he shall surely pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And when a man strikes the eye of a slave, male or female, and destroys it, he shall let the slave go free because of his eye. If he knocks out the tooth of his slave, male or female, he shall let the slave go free because of his tooth. Now when an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall not be liable. But if the ox has been accustomed to gore in the past, and its owner has been warned but has not kept it in, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. If a ransom is imposed on him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is imposed on him. If it gores a man's son or daughter, he shall be dealt with according to the same rule. If the ox gores a slave, male or female, the owner shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Now, when a man opens a pit or when a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restoration. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead beast shall be his. And when one man's ox butts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and share its price, and the dead beast also they shall share. Or if it is known that the ox has been accustomed to gore in the past, and its owner has not kept it in, he shall repay ox for ox, and the dead beast shall be his. Well, this is our reading today from Exodus chapter 21. Now, what we see in Exodus 21:1-23:19 is a section that contains basic guidelines for living together as a just society while also calling the people to live as those who are set apart unto the Lord. The specific laws are not intended to be exhaustive, but are to result in a way of life characterized by justice and civility among the people of God so that they are free to pursue moral excellence. Now, in verse 1 of our chapter today, it translates rules or judgments. These are decisions made by a judge that can be used to mediate particular disputes between people in Israel. Now, in verses 2 through 11, all these rules, they pertain to slaves in Israel that seek to govern movements in and out of a household of which they've been a part. Israelites are to remember what life was like in Egypt and to avoid oppressing one another in the same manner as we're going to see in Leviticus 25:35-46. And although the restitution for slaves is governed by their social situation, their identity as full human beings rather than mere possessions is assumed since they are not included in the laws governing the loss of property as in Exodus 21:33-22:15. Now in verse 2 of our chapter, just as in the rhythms of Israel's life is to be 6 days of work and then a Sabbath rest to the Lord, like in Exodus 28:11, so there will be patterns of giving rest to a slave after 6 years of service to the land, after 6 years of cultivation, as in Exodus 23:10-11, Leviticus 25:1-6, and to both people and land in the year of Jubilee, after seven sets of seven, like in Leviticus 25:8-22. Israel's life is to image the pattern set by the Lord in creation according to Genesis 2:1-3, so they will continually trust in him for their provision. Exodus 21:5-6. Now, debt was the most common reason that people became slaves. To employ a destitute person as a slave could be seen as a benevolent act, as it guaranteed him food and shelter and some income, like in Genesis 47:23-25. The security provided by a good employer could lead some slaves to choose to remain in that status permanently. Exodus 21:7-11. If a poor family could not afford the cost of a normal wedding, the father might sell his daughter to a rich man as his slave as a secondary wife, like Zilpah and Bilhah in Genesis 29:24 and Genesis 29:29. As wives from poor families, they could face exploitation, which these laws aim to prevent. Genesis 21:12-32. These laws related to situations in which someone had been injured by another person, like in verses 12-27, or by an animal in verses 28-32. Now, in verse 13 of our chapter, the reference to a place which he may flee, it looks forward to the cities of refuge that the Lord will prescribe in order to protect somebody who killed unintentionally until their case can be judged. Now, verse 16, this instruction is repeated in Deuteronomy 24:7. It indicates that the people of Israel were called to justice not only in the way they treated slaves, but also in the manner by which a person could become a slave. Verse 17 of our chapter. This rule is placed among other commandments that deal with either death or physical harm. Its placement, along with the prescription of the death penalty, it highlights the gravity of the command to honor one's parents in Exodus 20:12. As earlier instructions have already indicated, Israel's faithfulness to the Lord is to be formed not simply through its worship, but also in the life of the household. And now verses 20 through 21. These verses provide a general rule relating to discipline as a slave. The rationale for not avenging a slave because the slave is his money, related only to the financial circumstances of the one he serves. It is neither a description of how a slave as a person is to be understood, nor a prescription for how a slave is to be treated. The expectation for how Israelites were to treat one another, and especially those who were typically oppressed or overlooked, is indicated in the repeated statements at the end of this section in Exodus 22:21-24, Exodus 23:6-9. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him. Verses 22-25. Now, these verses, they contain phrases that are difficult to interpret. We're not going to be able to get into all the difficulty here. The ESV offers a traditional understanding of the biblical text. The situation in view here is a brawl between men. A pregnant woman nearby is accidentally hit, and this results in either a premature live birth or a miscarriage where the child dies, allowing for either a single or a multiple birth. This much is clear, but interpreters disagree about the exact meaning of the Hebrew rendered here. There is no harm here is harm, and the judges determine. According to the traditional view, harm is suffered by either the woman or her baby, and depending on the extent of her loss, the man who caused the injury shall pay as the judges determine, presumably according to the eye for an eye principle, which we're going to talk about at the end of this episode. Now, if the offender cannot be identified, the community you shall pay. This principle also applies to the compensation for injuries the woman may have suffered. The Old Testament attributes human personhood to the developing baby in the woman, but the law also distinguishes between death due to willful murder and death due to negligence in Exodus 21:12-24 and Exodus 21:28-32. This law demonstrates the Bible's concern to protect life, including the life in the woman. Verses 23-25. The general principle in Israel is that a life be taken or harmed shall be a life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and stripe for stripe. In relation to taking human life, the rule is grounded in humanity being made in the image of God and in the way that bloodshed defiles the land in which a holy God dwells with his people. Verses 28-29. In situations where an animal gores and kills a person, the instructions that if it shall be stoned is another illustration for Israel that human life is to be understood as holy unto the Lord. Exodus 21:33 through Exodus 23:15. These laws relate to the loss of animals and property. Now, verses 33-36 of our chapter today. Irresponsible action like not covering a pit and previous knowledge are to be taken into consideration when stipulation, the sort of restitution being required. Now, it's easy to get lost in the details of the laws for personal injury, but the basic principle is that the punishment has to fit the crime. This comes through clearly in the most famous verses from the passage in verses 23-25 of Exodus 21. These summary verses are famous because Jesus referred to them in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:38-39. And at first it seems like Jesus in Matthew 5:38-39 is contradicting Moses. Is Jesus saying that the Book of the Covenant no longer applies? This cannot be the right interpretation because earlier in the same sermon, Jesus said that he did not come to abolish a law but to fulfill it in Matthew 5:17. So what is Jesus meaning here? Well, it helps to know what the original law meant. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth is usually known as a law of retaliation, but its primary purpose was to stop people from taking their own revenge. The law of retribution was for the elders to apply as Israel's divinely appointed judge. This meant that private citizens did not have the right to carry out vengeance against people who hurt them. Only authorities had this right. Furthermore, in a case of personal injury, penalties were not allowed to be excessive. Well, usually when people get hurt, they want the person who injured them to suffer more than they did. But God's law did not allow violence to escalate. The punishment had to fit the crime. So how was this law carried out? Well, in the case of premeditated murder, it was very simple, life for life. And so the murderer was stoned. But what about eye for eye and all the rest of us? To us, it seems barbaric. Did God really intend for his people to be mutilated? The Jewish rabbis believed that these were only the maximum penalties and that ordinary cases of personal injury would be settled by giving the victim financial compensation. The rabbis might be right. Well, despite the NIV rendering, verse 24 does not literally say you are to take eye for eye, but you are to give eye for eye. The same word appears in verse 22 where it's translated allows and refers to the payment of a fine. And so rather than having his body parts taken away, the person who committed the crime could pay his victim some money. Now, the phrase eye for eye may support this interpretation because a word for can mean as compensation for. The context also needs to be considered. See, with the exception of the death penalty, the legal remedies in Exodus 21 are financial rather than physical. If the penalties in verses 23 through 25 also allows for fines, then they fit the context well. And finally, this interpretation finds added confirmation in Numbers where the law says in Numbers 35:31, do not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who deserves to die. He must surely be put to death. See, the implication is that although ransom could not be accepted in the case of murder, it could be accepted for lesser crimes. And so lex talionis, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, etc., was not so much a law of retaliation as it was a law of compensation. That is to say, whenever pain was inflicted, damages were to be awarded. And at the time of Jesus, this interpretation was being challenged. As some Jewish leaders were saying that the law required strict justice without any room for mercy. An eye for an eye, they said, that's all there is to it. Well, as far as they were concerned, this was the minimum penalty, not the maximum. And furthermore, some people were using the law of retaliation as an excuse for taking private revenge. Their attitude was, if you hurt me, I have the right to hurt you. And whenever they were harmed, they wanted to make somebody pay. And this was measure for measure, tit for tat. Well, what Jesus did is he corrected the religious leaders, not by overruling the law, but by correcting their interpretation of it. So as we talked about in the Ten Commandments, this is what Jesus always did with the law of Moses. He explained it for people who had forgotten what it truly required. And when it came to personal injury, what Jesus said in Matthew 5:39 is this, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. A blow on the right cheek was much more than an injury. It was an insult because such a blow was struck with the back of the right hand. Most people would fight back at that. Some of them would justify it by saying an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Well, according to Jesus, this is not what the law meant at all. The law was actually about making things right when we hurt somebody. It was not about getting what we have coming to us when somebody harms us. Well, strangely enough, we do not usually quote the law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth when we're in the wrong. We tend to quote it only when we think somebody else needs to be punished for what they did to us. Well, Jesus was saying that we have it backwards. When we're in the wrong, we need to make things right, and we ought to do everything justice requires. But when somebody does us wrong, we do not have to insist on strict justice. Instead, we have an opportunity to offer mercy. Well, commentators usually surround this verse with the death of 1,000 qualifications. Jesus did not mean that soldiers do not have the right to defend their country in a just war, they insist. Nor did he mean that society should not bring criminals to justice. Such qualifications are necessary because what Jesus said here had to be compared with the rest of the Word of God. But the problem with making all kinds of qualifications is that we usually end up missing the point. Here, the point is that when we're wrong, rather than seeking revenge or even demanding perfect justice, we should be willing to suffer injury so that we can show mercy. This is what Jesus calls us to do because it's what Jesus did. Jesus suffered all kinds of insults and injury on his way to the cross. Did he demand wound for wound and bruise for bruise? No. He said this in Isaiah 50, verse 6. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. And when he died on the cross for our sins, he prayed in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. So when Jesus asks us to do what seems impossible, namely giving up our right to make people pay for what they've done to us, he is only asking us to do what he did. And when he asks us to show mercy, he is only asking us to give what he has given to us. And so rather than exacting strict justice to the last tooth, God has shown us his mercy. He has forgiven our sins and granted us the free gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ alone. This has profound implications for the confidence conflicts that we have with one another. When somebody hurts us, what should we do? Now that mercy has triumphed over judgment, should we seek vengeance or will we show mercy? If everyone demanded an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the world would be full of blind, toothless, wounded cripples without hands and without feet. But God has been merciful to us so that we can show his mercy to others. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching today's episode of Reading the Bible Daily with Dave. My name is Dave, and today is May 6th, and we've looked at Exodus 21. Until tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Reading the Bible Daily with Dave podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to also like, subscribe, or follow Servants of Grace on Facebook, Instagram, X, or YouTube. We appreciate your support.